Blog Talk Radio.
God's keeping the night watch for you and for me. Bright stars are watching the world as it sleeps. Shepherds watch over the little white sheep. The lighthouse is shining for ships far at sea. As God keeps the night watch for you and for me. So sleep, sleep in peace and rest. Don't be afraid of the darkness. All's well for over the land and the sea. God's keeping the night watch for you.
Indeed, indeed, indeed he is. And he's been doing that since forever. Glory, glory, glory be to his name. Welcome to this Friday edition of Manna from Heaven. We are concluding our one-month series on Isaiah 41:10. We spent 5 weeks on this verse. And I hope and pray that the Lord has ministered to you life and encouragement. As we conclude, we're reminded that God has promised to uphold us, which means he has promised to lift us above the fray. Let us turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 63. And let us consider the text of today, Psalm 63, and for Friday, April 1st, we are looking at the bullet point that reads, "Yea, I, the Lord, will uphold thee," which means God takes us into his mighty arms and cradles us when we seek him with all of our hearts. God takes us. And what does he do? Cradle us. I remember when my children were babies and they would cry and I would reach into their bassinet and just pick them up and cradle them until they fell asleep. That's what God does for us. Look at the word uphold. Look at the imagery. The baby is down in the bassinet. The mother or father leans into the bassinet, takes the baby into their arms. The baby is crying. But after several minutes of just rocking and cradling, the baby calms down and is in peace. Heavenly Father, we pray today that you would cradle us. There are so many in our church, so many who are homebound right now. We think of Harvey and Mary Rackmeyer. Harvey is sick. Mary is sick. They're both in bed. They're both having a hard time, Lord, right now. They both sure do need you to cradle them in your arms and to love on them and to dote on them. Yes, Lord, you said you will uphold us. You would lift us above the fray, whatever that may be. Whatever problem it is that we are encountering, whatever it is that is keeping us down, can't even get up, you promise to lift us up out of that situation. And we pray right now for Mary and Harvey, who need you to pay them a visit, O Lord. Send your word and heal them. We pray. Touch anyone who needs your touch. Minister life to your people, Lord, for you are that good, great chief shepherd. We turn to you as David here turns to you in Psalm 63. This we ask, this we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. This Psalm 63 is a psalm when David was in the barren wilderness. You know, David was literally in a barren wilderness, running for his life, running like a fugitive. Running like a man with a bounty on his head for King Saul, whom David had not wronged, was wronging David. Think about it. Here is King Saul. David had done nothing against King Saul, and yet King Saul had put a bounty on David's head. And here David is on the run, and he is in the wilderness, a place where there is scant food, scant water, just a tough, tough, tough existence. And he's there hiding from a rabid king who is full of jealousy, envy, and is just beside himself to think that there's a young man ordained of God to take his place, and King Saul won't have it. So David is on the run in this psalm, and the psalm is divided into three almost equal parts. The first division of the psalm is Psalm 63, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. That's the first division. The second division is from verses 5 through 8, which is another four verses. And the last section is from verses 9 through 11, which are the last three verses. In verses 1 through 4, David seeks fellowship with God. Think about it. He's on the run. David supposedly has been blacklisted by King Saul. King Saul says, no one better be in the company of David. He's blacklisted. And not only is he blacklisted, but David, now I declare him to be a social pariah. No one is to open their doors to David. No one is to welcome him. No one is to feed him. No, no, no. He is a outcast of this kingdom. So in that situation, David seeks fellowship with God. Psalm 63, verse 1 through 4 reads like this. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. So there in an arid place, in a place where David's lips are parched, where there is hardly any food and hardly any water, David takes time to praise God, to sing unto the Lord, to lift up holy hands in adoration of God. He's got one friend, and that's the Lord. Is that you today? Do you feel like you just have one friend? It's a tough place to be, you know, not just physically, but spiritually. It's a tough place to be. And that's where David was. Then in verses 5 through 8 it reads, this is the second section, my soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Now, he says, listen, not my physical body will be satisfied, like if I am, you know, eating some chicken or some goat or no. He says, there's nothing here for me to satisfy my physical appetite, thus I will nourish my soul. How do I nourish my soul? With the marrow and the fatness of the spirit. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. Look at verse 8. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. You see, in this second section, David delights in the Lord. Not only does he seek the fellowship with the Lord, but when he's in the Lord's presence, he delights in the Lord. He enjoys the Lord. And he says in verse 8, my soul follows hard after thee. In other words, I've been seeking you with all my heart. And he says, because I've been seeking you with all my heart, your right hand will lift me above the fray. Yes, I am going through. Yes, this trial is real. Yes, if these people find me, they will bring me dead or alive to King Saul and collect their bounty. Yes, I am on the run, but nonetheless, I know that this is only temporary. I know that because you've made promises to me, you will lift me above the trial, the tribulation, the fray. And in this final section, David says this, verses 9 through 11. But those that seek my soul to destroy it, they shall go into the lower parts of the earth. The lower parts of the earth are graves. You know, when you go to a cemetery and we're going to do the service of committal. You know, when we commit a body to a grave, when a pastor and a congregation goes to the cemetery to lower the casket, that's called the service of committal. And so David says, those who are hunting for me, those bounty hunters who are just can't wait to get my head and put it in a sack and bring it to Saul as proof, those people who desire my demise, they shall be lowered into their own grave. Their desires upon me shall not be accomplished. Why? Because God will lift me, you, us, above the fray. They shall fall by the sword. They shall have their portion, or the foxes shall have them as a portion. Think about this. Many people who died in battle were not all buried. Who ate those carcasses that laid strewn on the ground? Well, hyenas ate those carcasses. Wolves ate those carcasses. Foxes ate those carcasses. You know, when there was a battle and 30,000 died, not all those people were buried. You know, you dig 100 graves and you're tired and you say, the heck with it. You know, let the vultures, let the beasts of the field have these soldiers as you know, let them clean up. Let them make these bodies disappear. And that's what David says. You guys are planning my demise, but God will see to it that the foxes will eat you. He goes on to say, but the king shall rejoice in God. Who's the king? Himself, the anointed king, the future king, King David. Saul is after him, but the king. I am the king. In other words, David's saying, listen, I have not been, as of yet, historically enthroned. But it was just a few years ago that Samuel anointed me with oil and said that I would be the next king. Now, that hasn't happened yet, but I'm confessing I am the king. That I will see that day. God will see me through this trial. God will lift me above the fray, and I will get to enjoy the day of my enthronement. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. Everyone who says, God is my source, shall glory in God. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. My brothers and sisters, are you in a battle right now? Are you being surrounded by the bounty hunters of death? Fear not. God will cradle you in his arms. And he will secure you firmly in his grip. And no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And none that seek your ill will have their day of jubilee. They will not get their hands on you. For God will turn the tables. You shall be preserved. And those who seek to destroy your life shall lose it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this series. We are convinced. We know for sure. We have no doubts that we need not fear nothing, for you are with us. We need not be dismayed, for you are our God. We know that you will strengthen us. We know that you will help us. Yea, we know that you will uphold us with the right hand of thy righteousness. In thee do we depend. In thee do we turn our attention to for salvation. And in thee do we wait. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Lead me on, let me stand. I am tired.
storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home.